Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your words. Words that we've heard before, words that we understand, and some that challenge our understanding. But we pray, O Lord, that through the power of your Spirit, we may gain wisdom through what we have heard, that we might know what your truth is, and that we might live in and participate in your truth. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. In honor of our election cycle, I want to start off with a remembrance and an anecdote. You see, when I was growing up, my parents took their politics seriously. And we watched the presidential conventions. Of course, back in those days, in the 60s, that was about the only politics you heard about. It wasn't like debates every week, it seemed like, in this election cycle. And I recall watching, I can't remember if it was the 64 or the 68 Republican convention, which was presided over by Illinois Senator Everett Dirksen. He was a person who had a commanding presence, was very well liked, highly respected, and had a marvelous voice that was so low and gravelly. Oh, I can't even come close to his voice. I mean, it was even lower than that. And I loved to listen to him speak. And he was presiding over this particular convention, and the convention floor was being rather rowdy. And so he threatened to throw the book at them if they didn't calm down. They had business to conduct. And they did not calm down. So he took this convention rules and minutes book that was on the podium. It's about that thick. And he picked it up and threw it over the front, and down it went to the floor. Now that's where the convention band sat. But nobody got hit, from what I understand. But I remember that to this day. And an anonymous writer shares an anecdote about Senator Dirksen. Following a campaign speech that Dirksen had made, a young man rushed up to him and said, "Senator, I wouldn't vote for you if you were St. Peter." And Dirksen kind of eyed the young man for a minute, and then he said, "Son, if I were St. Peter, you couldn't vote for me because you wouldn't be in my district." Now, a lot of jokes are made about St. Peter's district, which we know as heaven. Jokes about who gets in and who doesn't. And many times, when we read the passage from Revelation, or we hear it, we think it refers to heaven, the New Jerusalem. And that's why it's often referred to in funerals. Because of the scenarios that give rise to apocalypses, which the book of Revelation is known as, it does seem to give that sense to that passage we heard. Apocalypses were written in great times of unrest and persecution to give hope to people who were experiencing the persecution. However, over the years, from my readings from the Gospel and our study of the Gospel of John that we've been having this year in our Bible study, I've another take I'd like to share with you on this passage. And let's begin then with the words from the Gospel of John. Let me remind you that this is part of the story. It comes right after the washing of the disciples' feet. And this plus the washing is the lectionary reading for all three cycles for Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday. Jesus is giving his final instructions to his disciples to do for others what he has done for them. In other words, follow my example. Now, he knew this band of 12 disciples were going to desert him, and yet He gives them instructions for afterward. Somehow he knew that they would find their way back to him. I'm reminded of the story Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, which is the final book of the whole Harry Potter series. And by the way, the book is much better than the two-part series that movies that cover that final book. And in it, Dumbledore, the master, headmaster of Hogwarts, has left Harry, Hermione, and Ron with three things that seem to make no sense in his will. And so Ron, he left his Deluminator. Now, the Deluminator is a little thing, kind of like the size of a pen, and you hold it up and you point it at a street light and click it, and the light comes shooting to the Deluminator, and the lamp goes dark. He uses it several times throughout the series. And then, when you're ready to put the light back, you click it and the light goes shooting back to it. Now, there is a point in Deathly Hallows where Ron is angry that not much is happening, and he leaves Harry and Hermione. And Harry and Hermione keep moving around and trying to figure things out and see what they need to do next. And Ron, we hear later, hears snatches of their conversation through his Deluminator, which in the end helps him to find his way back to Harry and Hermione. For some reason, Dumbledore knew that Ron would have a crisis of faith in Harry and leave the two of them, and wanted to provide a way to help Ron find his way back. I choose to think of the New Jerusalem as the end result of people finding their way back to God in this life. Remember when Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also"? When Christ is with us, the New Jerusalem has come. That's why this is an Easter season text. When people wash the feet of others, the New Jerusalem has come. This passage is not so much about the next life as it is about this life. As we are finding out in our Bible study, when the author of the Gospel of John talks about eternal life, he's not talking about life after death. He's talking about this life. And how we can begin to experience the feeling of living forever when we wash others' feet. In this life, when we share the good news in word and deed, in this life, it begins now, not in the future. It continues maybe into the future, but it begins now, whenever and wherever that may be. It is so ingrained in us, though, that we need to be thinking about eternal life in the future by working towards it now. As if some reward we have, it's some reward that we have to achieve. However, it's about really about us doing our part to bring God about now. God is in the midst when the people are doing the work of God. How can it be any other way? To answer the question of my sermon title, where exactly is the New Jerusalem? It is here, now, wherever people are doing God's work that not only helps them, but it wipes the tears from the eyes of those who have suffered because they find hope again. In the rock musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, Judas sings the song, "Heaven on Their Minds." The refrain of the song in many ways tells the truth, although Judas sees it all wrong, because he does not see Jesus as the Messiah. Judas sings, "Jesus, you started to believe the things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good that you've done will soon not get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say." The things that Jesus says are the most important, because that's who Jesus is. Many believe that Jesus matters more than anything, that the name of Jesus is some sort of magical mantra. Just say the name and you will be healed and get your wish. But Jesus was all about what he said and what he did. And what he said and did in the context of this life. Remember how Jesus always spoke of the kingdom being near when he was doing things and saying things? It was always near where his work was being done. In Matthew 10, Jesus sends the 12 out on a mission. And in his instructions to them, he says the following: as you go, proclaim the good news, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. The kingdom is near because the sick are cured, the dead are raised, the lepers are cleansed, and the demons are cast out. The New Jerusalem can be and is here and now. God will be and is in the midst of it. God's not sitting in some Jerusalem far away in the galaxy. But God is in the midst of a New Jerusalem here in our world and in our time, wherever the good news is proclaimed in word and action. So I'm sorry, Senator Gerson, as much as I respected you, the young man in you was in your district. That is, if he was following the words and the actions of Jesus. May we all see the new Jerusalem in the midst of our life. And may that continue to well up within us and give us strength to share the good news wherever we are. And whatever we are doing, even at the street fair. Amen.